70 million. 70 million people have been martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ since Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death. One of the most recent public martyrs was Charlie Kirk, who was martyred for his faith on September 10th, 2025 in Utah. This sermon is a challenge to all of us left. Will we stand for Jesus until death?
And today, title of our message, it is Charlie Kirk, the Shot Heard Around the World. And we want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 7. And we're going to talk about one of 70 million. Because unfortunately, this week, a great general of the faith was assassinated before our very eyes. Charlie Kirk's influence will not die. He died as a martyr for the faith, and he teaches us some lessons. If I had a subtitle for the message today, it would be Lessons to Learn from the Martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. What can we learn from his life and his experience that matches and mirrors the Word of God so that we might, as Christians, be determined to live like Charlie lived and to die victoriously, even as Charlie did? Because once he had that shot that was heard around the world, and he passed from this life to the other, he was met by our captain of the faith, and well done, thou good and faithful servant, he heard. But he's not the only one. And the very first martyr we want to talk about today and see the parallel, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 7, we don't have time, I wish we did, to read Stephen's whole sermon that he preached before the people that were about to kill him. But Stephen, not a pastor, Stephen, not a disciple, not an apostle, we would call him just a regular church guy. He was one of the first deacons of the first church. He was a layman, you want to use it in that term. But God gave him the honor of being the first Christian martyr. In Acts chapter number 7, verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him, Stephen, with their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped up their ears, and they ran unto him with one accord. And they cast Stephen out of the city, and they stoned him in the wilderness. And they laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down, and he cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said thus, Stephen fell asleep, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and they made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, the one who was the witness of Stephen's death, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Father, we thank you, Lord, that today is the day that the Lord hath made. And with mixed emotions, we approach this holy sacred text because, Father, you in your providence allowed Charlie Kirk to be martyred this week. And I know Charlie's in heaven, and I know he's received his reward. And I also know, Lord, that the movement he started will not end, and that you'll keep it going. And I know, Lord, that the movement that Stephen started did not end, and it will not end until you come. Because, Lord, you have called us not just to live for you, but if necessary, to die for you. And so I pray today, Father, that as the people here in the church service, this man behind the pulpit, myself, and those who will hear this message around the world, that we would be encouraged in these times of difficulty, and that we would be determined that we, like Stephen, we, like Charlie, would stand for Christ no matter the cost or consequence, and that one day we too can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There are some events in history that are so profound that they have great significance at that time and forward. April the 15th, I believe it was, 1775, the first shot of the Revolutionary War took forth in Concord, and it was the battle that the words historians say it was the shot that was heard around the world. And from that first shot of the Revolutionary War, America was birthed, and this great nation came forth because of the courage of that first shot. On September the 10th, 2025, I, like others, was shocked that a shot was heard in Utah when a great man like Stephen, a man who was not a politician, a man who was not an elected official, a man who was not a pastor, he was just an ordinary guy, a college dropout, someone who God was using greatly, a vicious, heinous, demonic attack toward Charlie Kirk occurred. One shot took his life, but that one shot was heard around the world. Millions upon millions of people mourn his death, but just as many have determined to not let his message die. And I think the shot that was heard around the world in 1775, millions upon millions of Americans will not let that sacrifice die. I think about Stephen, the very first martyr. How, as we read the account here in Acts chapter 7, 6, 7, and 8, of his short life, we don't know how long Stephen actually lived. We don't know how much about him at all. The Bible doesn't tell us anything other than he was chosen in chapter 6 of Acts, because it says in verse number 5, it said, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen." And here's his characteristics. And Brother D, I want this to be something you and I and all the men here in the church should say, that he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." It says in verse 10 of Acts chapter 6, "And they were not able to resist his wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spoke." And as I read these things about Stephen, he was arrested for his preaching, and they could not stop his reasoning. He was a man who was able to debate well, and he preached Jesus from the Old Testament and convinced many that Jesus was Christ. Then when he was arrested, look at verse 15 of chapter 6, it says, "And all they that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel." And then I thought about Charlie Kirk, a modern day martyr, and I could say the same thing here about Charlie. He was a man who reasoned well. He spoke articulately. I listened to several of his debates since Wednesday. I marvel at how he was so intellectually a genius, and how he could form words, and he could debate with the most staunchest of enemies. One debate that I watched, a guy actually come dressed in a goat outfit like a satanic priest. He only lasted about 2 minutes with Charlie, because Charlie's reasoning power was so great and put him in his spot. And Charlie had such an influence on the young people of the day because they were impressed with his demeanor. They didn't see a mean, leather-lunged, hellfire damnation preacher. They saw a man of compassion, a man of empathy, a man of understanding who could talk their language and convince them with their words the very truth of God. One thing that stood out in every debate, he always said the greatest thing that happened to him was that he was a sinner who found Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he made no hesitation. He was full of faith. And as I think about Charlie, and I think about Stephen, my mind goes back, listen to this, there have been 70 million Christians since Stephen who have been martyred for the faith. We have record of over 70 million people who have given their lives for Christ. It was such a shock to this country because we are the land of the free that we don't see the great persecution yet that our brothers and sisters see every day in Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Russia, North Korea, Ethiopia, Nigeria, all these countries, Pakistan, where the persecution of Christians, Israel, is unbelievable. I'm reading a book called 40 Days with the Persecuted Church. And I thought it was appropriate that I was reading that book when Charlie brought it real before us this week. We live in a life of relatively luxury and ease. But may I say that what happened to Charlie on Wednesday, September the 10th, may happen to us any day of the week. Because the persecution of the last days is going to get worse and worse and harder and harder. And it will become more the norm. This hero of the Christian faith, Charlie Kirk, was assassinated. He was not murdered, he was martyred. And in his life, it reminds us of several things. His death is a powerful reminder to all of us of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. It said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Charlie did not get up that morning thinking that he was going to die. He had made preparations. He was ready spiritually. And if you noticed, he was surrounded by security guards. There were security guards in front of him. There were security guards behind him. He wore a bulletproof vest. But Satan knew where to hit. And the diabolical shot of that .30-06 from 200 yards away on top of the Student Life Center made its mark into the carotid artery of Brother Kirk, and within seconds, he was gone. I thought it interesting that they did not shoot him in the chest because then he had been protected by the bulletproof vest. It was interesting they didn't shoot him in the head because then his intellect would have been seized, but they shot him in the neck. Never seen that before. But you know why? They were trying to stop his breath. They were trying to stop his voice. And may I say, they did for a short while. But one of the most profound speeches I've ever heard in my life, I heard the next day from his blessed, beautiful wife, where she said, the movement that Charlie Kirk started called Turning Point USA, I will not let it die. They may have stopped my husband's voice, but they will not stop the voice of this movement. Somebody say amen. But when he went to work that day, and that's what it was to Charlie, a ministry and a work, he did not expect to die. I think about James chapter 4, verse 14, said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. 31 years old, 2 years younger than Christ when he died. No one would have expected that. So as we look at the death of Charlie and we look at the death of Stephen, we must be reminded that though it was a shock, it should not be, because 70 million more have been martyred and there'll be many, many millions more before the Lord comes back. We are promised as Christians in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That was written by the Apostle Paul in his jail cell. By the way, Paul was converted at the martyrdom of Stephen. The very next chapter, if you read it, Saul becomes Paul and he becomes a great missionary and a great preacher who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Had Stephen not been martyred before the eyes of Saul and Stephen not held his testimony of faith to the very end, probably Paul would not have been converted. And this apostle wrote that all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. At the time of his writing, he was in prison, and just a few short days later, he would be beheaded for his faith in Christ. And it was written during the time when the evil Roman Diocletian Caesar was hailing people and hauling people into jail and killing them and burning them at the stake and doing awful things to Christians. And they were reminded that this was a cost that they would pay for their Christendom, and that they should not, would not stop and think it strange, this fiery trial, that this was just something that should be normal. And you know what? Every one of the apostles died martyr's death. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded by King Agrippa. Judas Iscariot died by suicide, hanging himself. Peter was crucified upside down on a cross because he requested that he might die in a different manner than Christ. He did not find himself to be worthy to be crucified in the same way as his Lord. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. Philip, with some accounts, mentioned he was crucified, and then others say he was stoned. Bartholomew Nathaniel was possibly flayed alive in Armenia for his faith. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India. Matthew was beheaded in Ethiopia. James, the son of Alphaeus, was thrown from the temple. Then he was stoned and beaten to death. Simon the Zealot was sawed in half while preaching in Persia. Jude, we call him Thaddeus, was killed by arrows or maybe an axe in Lebanon. John the Beloved was the only disciple who did not die from his wounds that they inflicted. He was boiled in hot oil. His eyes were gouged out. He was put on the Isle of Patmos where he received the book of Revelation. And he preached so wonderfully on that Alcatraz of its day, the worst prison that they could possibly exile a man to. He was put there for his death because he didn't die from the boiling of the water. He didn't die from the gouging of his eyes out. And the revival was so great under the Apostle John that they took him off the Isle of Patmos because prisoners were begging to go because they had heard of the great preaching of John. But every one of the disciples died a martyr's death, and 70 million more have died. So may I ask this question? Who are we to think that we will not endure the same? See, right now we're in good days, but the battle is raging. And do not forget, this is a spiritual battle that is raging, and you cannot protect everybody from every evil. You just have to confront it. It will go through many different observations and investigations to say what happened to Charlie Kirk. Why did this happen? And they'll blame the security and everything else. Let me tell you this, you cannot guard your children, you cannot guard your life from every type of evil. This same week, two weeks ago, a beautiful Ukrainian woman who came here for a better life went on the public transport in Charlotte, North Carolina, and just sat down on the public transport and was just minding her business when a demonically possessed, mentally deranged, evil man slashed her throat and stabbed her to death. What could have been done more? I tell you what does bother me, and I'm sending my notes, I'm getting ahead of it. There were four big, muscular men surrounding around her, and none of them jumped to her aid. You know why? We live in a day and time where the love of many has waxed cold, and natural affection is no more. And I, the other day, honestly, as I was driving down the road, I think it was yesterday, I was thinking about her, thinking about Charlie, thinking about this message. And I asked myself, if I had been on that train, would I have tried to defend her? Or would I have at least jumped to her aid when I saw what happened? Or would I have done like those cowardly men did and just sit there and watch her die? We live in times when we have to think things through. His TurningPointUSA.com was preaching repentance to America. And over, Charlie said, we've got to repent or perish, and we need to change. I did not realize how significant his influence was, though he was not a politician. They said that outside of Donald Trump himself, Charlie Kirk single-handedly turned the tide. Trump was losing. Charlie Kirk went on these college campuses and rallied the troops of young people with logic and understanding and gentleness and kindness, and at the same time confronting the evildoers. And he caused or held a great effect on us having the great president that we have in office today. But we must be reminded that Charlie Kirk was aware of the truth that life was brief, that he was only going to be here for a little while, and that he wanted to serve the Lord. The last words Charlie said in the last interview, he wanted to be, someone asked him, what would you want to be remembered for? And he said, I want to be remembered as a man of faith and courage who loved his family and loved his God. What a great testimony. His organization, Turning Point USA, will continue, and he will have a great impact no matter what. I like the fact that Charlie had the temperament of an angel and that he was able to, like Stephen, confound those who listened to him with his demeanor and with his temperament and with his godlike characteristics. So what do we learn? What do we learn from this seeming tragedy? I'll tell you what we learn. Four things. Number one, we learn that we must always be ready. We must always be ready. We must seek God continuously. Look at Acts chapter 6 and look down at verse 3. It says, and wherefore, brethren, look you out among you for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And verse 5 said, and they set before them Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen's testimony was one that he was full of faith. He was an honest man. He was a saved man. He was ready to give up his life too, just like Charlie Kirk did. We don't know a whole lot about Stephen other than the fact that what the Bible said, that he was saved, he was sanctified, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he had the temperament of an angel, and he served God. We don't know a whole lot about Charlie Kirk other than what you just, he come on the scene at 18, but he just became prominent in the last few years. But we do know this, he was a Christian who was very vocal about his faith and his personal relationship with his Lord Jesus Christ. And many times he would give his personal testimony of faith. Charlie knew that he was walking into the devil's playground every time he went on a college campus. He wrote books that were controversial, talking about you've been scammed and the scam of college life, and then went to the colleges. He had a life of courage. He reminded me of living out the life verse that you know that I've chosen for my life verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He lived it out. When the apostle Paul was giving up his ministry of Ephesus and going to Jerusalem, he was told by the prophet Agabus and others that he was going to meet his death there and that he need not go to Jerusalem. And Paul quoted, wrote this verse of scripture, and I believe that Charlie Kirk lived it. It says, but none of these move me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I have that as my life verse. I want to live that life verse. That none of these things will move me. None of these things will cause me to quit. Remember what I preached last Sunday? There's 28 seasons in Ecclesiastes, a time to kill, a time to steal, a time to mourn, but there's never a time to quit. We have to stand up for Jesus and be ready in season, out of season, just like the Bible taught. And so as we look at the death of Charlie, we have to say that we must be ready to serve God no matter what, no matter where, no matter the cost, even if it means laying down our life. I think of those folks who are right now on the mission field and they're serving God faithfully and we're supporting them as best we can. But when this persecution comes to America, we must be ready just like Charlie was. We must be ready no matter what. While you are alive, we need to seek God and accept the gift of salvation that He's offering to us Don't procrastinate. If you're not born again, if you're listening to me and you have not been saved, you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to learn from Charlie's experience. He got up that morning just like a normal day, expecting to go through a normal day, and his life was cut short. That poor lady on the train was just expecting to go from point A to point B, and her life was cut short. And your life is not promised a tomorrow. So you have to get saved today. The Bible tells us over and over and over again many warnings about putting off things. Listen to the words of Isaiah 55:6 that said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near." What's that verse tell us? Sometimes he's not near. Sometimes you can seek and not find. Genesis 6:8 said that my spirit will not always strive with a man. The Bible tells us that, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Hebrews 2:3 said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" Listen to me. If you are amongst here today in this church, or if you're listening wherever and however, don't put off getting right with God. You don't have a tomorrow. There is no such thing as tomorrow. For when tomorrow comes, it's today, and when it's over, it's yesterday. So don't believe the devil's lie. Trust Jesus now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Charlie's sudden death warns us to be ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of God. Secondly, not only should we learn that we will seek God and be ready, but we should also learn from Charlie's death and from Stephen's death that not be afraid to speak up for God. To speak up for God. Boy, sometimes I have to confess that I have had opportunities to say things and didn't. For fear of man. For fear of reprisal. So this week I've asked the Lord to give me that holy boldness again. That I may be able to stand up regardless of what the consequence may be. We need to speak up. We need to tell others about Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8 through 11, it says that Stephen was not ashamed, and he preached the word. It says that Stephen, full of the faith and Holy Ghost, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there were arose certain of the synagogue, which were the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and them of Sicily and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard this man speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came and caught him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses and said, "This man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. And we've heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs that Moses delivered." But all that sat saw the face of an angel. Stephen was speaking up in the midst of the enemy camp, and so was Charlie Kirk. And you know, they lied on Charlie just like they lied on Stephen. I was appalled at some of the comments that came up on my Facebook feed and TikToks that were sent to me. And some of them were just ridiculous, were evil, were wicked. But is there no compassion anymore? Is there not human decency anymore? Charlie was somebody's son, a husband, a father, and his life was cut off. And we should not, no matter if you disagree with his politics or disagree with even his faith, for goodness sakes, have some decency about you. Can I hear an amen? But Charlie did not fight. He did not try to deliberately cause people to get angry. He simply presented the truth in an intelligent fashion, just like Stephen. He wasn't ordained. He wasn't a minister. In fact, he was a college dropout, but God called him and gave him a call. He answered that call when he said, "Here am I." Can I say this, that God is looking for Christians today who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul said it best in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Can you say that? Can I say that? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is this gospel? Well, he makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which you also have received. Here it is, very simply, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how Christ died for my sins, according to the Scripture. And that He was buried and that He rose again. That's the gospel. Don't be ashamed of that. It's not philosophy. It's not some men's thoughts. It's not religion. It's the gospel. Jesus came. He lived. He died. He rose again. That was one of the things that Charlie was famous for saying. And I heard him say several times, well, there's different opinions on this when they talk about something like baptism or whatever the case may be. But he said, but that's not the key. The key is having a relationship with Jesus. I heard his pastor at the Dream City Church the day after Charlie was, well, the night that Charlie was shot, his pastor brought the church together and he gave a great testimony of the testimony of Charlie and said that Charlie was a man who walked with God and lived it out daily. And he said, even though he may be dead, his influence was the shot heard around the world. His influence will be worldwide. You and I should go on serving the Lord and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how it's just Jesus and Jesus alone that saves. We cannot cowtail, we cannot cower, we cannot compromise when it comes to preaching the truth of the gospel. Lives are at stake, souls are hanging in the balance. It's a real place called heaven and a real place called hell. And you and I, as soldiers of the cross, must stand up and let Charlie be an example of that. Thirdly, in light of Charlie's death, we must recognize the signs of our time. We must recognize when and where we are. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, it said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Everybody say that with me. Perilous times shall come. We're in the last days. The word perilous means dangerous days. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. That describes the days in which we live to a T. Charlie was killed by a 22-year-old punk who was raised in a conservative household. More will be told. By the way, I don't think he acted alone. They say that he was a lone wolf. I think you'll find in days to come that that probably will be disproved. But nonetheless, he had good parents. They were Mormons. They weren't Christians. They were conservative. They were Trump supporters. But he went to college and was radicalized by the internet and what he heard at college. May this be a heed to Christian parents. Be careful what you let your children watch and see and who they hang around with and especially where they go to school. I have never been more proud. I did not support it in the beginning, but I've never now been more proud of my son and daughter who chose to homeschool their children this year because of the things that were going on at the school. We have a testimony right here in this little church of a family who sacrificed for 25 years. Or longer, to homeschool four queens of the gospel. Somebody say amen. And all four of her girls are serving God because of the influence of the home and the influence that they got consistently at church and home and school. And this 22-year-old demon-possessed punk, radicalized by the internet and by college, and to the point to where he was living with a transgender man becoming a woman without natural affection. Isn't it ironic, or was it planned, that the very second question that was asked of Charlie, first was of his religion, and the second was, Charlie, do you believe that the mass shootings are transgender oriented, that more transgenders are mass murderers than anything else? And Charlie began to answer the question. He said, outside of gang violence, and that's when the shot rang off. That this 22-year-old punk wanted to defend his thing that he was living with. rather than let the truth be told. These are the signs of the times in which we live. That men are, we live in dangerous times because of the characteristics of men loving themselves and covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers and being disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. But we live in this dangerous time, and we need to understand that, because you've got to be, there's no safe place. I was praying to the Lord and asking Him, Lord, how do I help my family? How do I help my church to prepare for these last days? And I said to Him, I said, Lord, for 20 years, 25 years, I've been preaching, get ready, prepare. Make sure you have this and you have that, and you have transportation, you have communication, you have food, you have water. But how do you protect yourself in this wicked society? And the only thing that came to my mind was, I will give my angels charge over thee to protect you in all your ways. And God may choose. They burned our church down. God may choose for all of us to die martyr's death and that be His will. So be it. We just get to go to heaven sooner. But we need to understand that we're living in those last days. Ours is not to know the appointed time when God will take us away, but we must realize that in these days and times, it is more likely that we will be called upon to die a martyr's death. It's not ours to know when, but we know this, God has a purpose. It's not ours to know how. Why? Why did God let Charlie Kirk get assassinated? He didn't kill him, but He allowed it to happen. Charlie could have done like Donald Trump, just moved his head a little bit and been over. Why did Donald Trump survive and Charlie not? Why was Stephen stoned to death and others didn't? Why? You know what? That's not our answer. We don't have to know that. That's in the hands of God. But I will tell you this. The results of Stephen's martyrdom was more profound than what Stephen could have ever done. Because if you look back at chapter 8, it says that Saul was consenting unto his death. And as he watched him die, God used Stephen's death to bring conviction upon the apostle, upon the wicked man Saul of Tarsus, and convert him into the apostle Paul, who then reached the world for Christ. And so it is. John chapter 12, verse 24 through 25 said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. The kernel of corn of wheat of Charlie Kirk died, but the harvest will be great. It will be the shot that was heard around the world. Because now hundreds of thousands, probably even millions of young people will rise up, and they already have the t-shirts and are already chanting, I am Charlie. Because they want you to know, you killed the general, but all the privates are rising up. And I don't know who will be the spokesperson for Turning Point USA, but I know there will be millions of young people who will continue the legacy of Charlie Kirk, and that beautiful wife of his, and those two children will continue the legacy, and the message will go forth. The seed died, but it comes up a great manifold harvest. I think of 2 Corinthians 2:8, where it said, they killed the Lord. But if they had known what they were doing, they would not have killed the Lord of glory. See, Satan thought he won whenever he killed Jesus. But what did he do? One seed in the ground died. Jesus died. But look at what happened after that. Millions upon millions upon millions of Christians around the world. We're now the largest faith-based group in the world. Why? Because one man died. Satan will not have the last laugh. But we must remember that we're in those days when persecution will come. Charlie's death will not be the last. And in fact, I believe his name, Turning Point, this is a turning point in America. You will see a great rise politically, and I hope and pray that it continues. But I want you to remember that on April the 8th, 2024, I preached that the eclipse that came on that day, the sign of Jonah, was God's final warning to America. And if we did not repent and change our ways, that we would be under the judgment of God. 40 days later, May 18th, I believe, if I'm correct on those days, America rebelled instead of repented, and we have not seen any fruit of repentance, and we are under the judgment of God. America is under the judgment of God. And now persecution has come to America. Remember Revelation chapter 6, verse 4? And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. We are under the judgment of God, and the red horse, the second horse of the apocalypse, has already run. It started October the 7th, 2023, whenever Israel was invaded. And that red horse of war and terrorism, I preached to you. I know I've done it. If you don't want it to, if you hear it, go back to our channel on talk4tv.com. I went back yesterday just to make sure it's still there. Talk4tv.com. Go to our Madden channel. It's the second one on the TV listings, MADN, and there you'll see it. Four-part series on wild horses shaking earth, and it's about the four horses of the apocalypse, and they're running now. The COVID was the first one, the white horse. The second one is war and terrorism. It started on October 7th. It's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And terrorism and war is going to get worse and worse and worse. Before then, the black horse comes on the scene, that being total economic collapse. And we're seeing it today. I told my wife this week, I can't even keep up with how many wars there are going on right now. Russia and the Ukraine, it's not ceasefire, it's getting worse. Venezuela, Mexico, North Korea, Iran, Israel, all these things are happening all over the world and you can't even keep up with them. And then the terrorism, that's what this guy did. It was an act of terror. And it put terror into the hearts of millions of people. And right before that, that same day or the day before, there was mass shootings in Colorado in schools. You can't take your kids to school. You can't go to church. You can't go shopping. You can't ride a train. What's happening? The red horse is running fast. We're in the last days, people. We're in the last days. And sadly, I don't believe we're going to be raptured out of it. We will miss the wrath of God, but we will not miss the wrath of man. We're in the last days. What must we learn from this? Number four, excuse me. We must learn to stand for God no matter what the price. I won't be redundant here, but in Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60, we read it to you already. When they heard the words of Stephen, they gnashed on him with their teeth. You know what that means? They literally, like vampires, attacked him and was chewing at him, trying to kill him with their own teeth. And then finally, they threw him out of the city and stoned him to death. What a horrible way to die. And everyone who knew Stephen knew what he stood for, and he was a man of God, and he did not make any apologies, nor did Charlie Kirk. The Bible said in Ezekiel 22:30, I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God is looking for people who will stand up and tell the truth no matter what the consequences, and we must do that today. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. And if Baal be God, then follow him. We cannot compromise and coddle any longer. The days are short. We've got to stand up for what we believe. Like Stephen, Charlie Cook took a stand for God. He stood for everything that is taught in the Bible, and that he stood against everything that the Bible condemned. And if you are a true Christian, this is the challenge. You and I, take a stand for God. Be like Charlie Kirk. Be like Stephen. Be like Daniel. Be like Esther. Be like Paul. Be like all the other 70 million Christians who have given their life for Christ. Someday it may be your turn to die. The question is, have you taken a stand for Christ? If not, you need to do it now. Hebrews chapter 12, when you get home, study this for me, please. It's always been an inquisitive verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 through 4. It says that we're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and now he sat down on the right hand of God the Father. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And here's the verse, verse 4. You have not resisted yet unto blood. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Paul's telling us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and joy of serving God. And then this strange verse comes in, said, and you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The question is, are you willing to strive against sin, even unto blood? Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What are we willing to die for? I've asked myself over and over this week, would I be willing to die? We say that, oh, I'm willing to die, I'm ready to die. Would you? You wanted to speak up at school because you're afraid somebody will call you a Jesus freak. You won't even tell your husband, we need to go to church today. I'm going to go to church to take the kids because you're afraid he might yell at you. You won't even tell the employer, I can't work on Sunday because I'm a Christian and I believe I'm supposed to be in church. What are you going to do when the heat is on? Irina Zarutsky needed somebody who was willing to strive against sin. And maybe should have been here today. In conclusion, many, many people were sorrowful for Stephen's death. Dozens and dozens, probably maybe 100, wept and cried over Stephen, the first martyr. There'll be a candlelight vigil celebrating the life of Charlie Kirk. There was some every day this week. I've seen them on the news. Next Sunday, there'll be the official ceremony. There'll be millions of people. And I'm sad. I never met the man, but I feel like I lost a friend. And that's the truth. We were all in shock and still are. But we must now remember who they were, what he started, his words, and be determined like his wife said, we won't let this movement die. See, this battle is against Satan. It is against the midterm elections. It is against the next presidential election. He's trying to silence the youth of America. That's who won the election for Trump. And they will be the ones who will turn this world around. We must do the same. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 7 says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of these martyrs, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. God tells us that there are some who are marked for martyrdom. But I want you to know this. When the blood of the martyr touches the altar of God, God takes notice. God took notice on September 10th that the blood of a martyr touched the altar. And we have yet to see what God will do to avenge his death. But God will avenge, and God will take care of this country. But you and I must absolutely be determined to speak up, stand up, know the signs, and be ready. For in such a time as we think not, the Son of Man cometh.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. Please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, U.S. of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's madnworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information. Thank you for tuning in for the conclusion of this series. Join us next Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern as the pastor starts on a new topic. Until then, we will be praying for you and your family that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world. Thank you.